I don't see Dwayne Reese here, so I think I'm safe in saying this. Last Sunday, after he saw in the bulletin that I would be speaking this morning, he came up to me after the close of services and said, "Now, Trey, do I need to remind you that service ends at 11 a.m.? If he had been here this morning, I was going to tell him, since he is an Alabama fan, and they put a beating on my Tennessee Vols yesterday, that I was going to preach for 45 minutes on the crimson stain of sin. I am thankful for this opportunity to proclaim God's word, and I appreciate the confidence that the elders have put in me, and I hope that something I say this morning will be beneficial to all of us. 2 weeks ago, Josh spoke on the topic, God is wisdom. And that morning we looked at several passages from Scripture describing the wisdom of God. And because we know that we are created in the image of God, to me that means that we have the ability, unlike any other thing that God created, to take on some of His qualities. Now, of course, we could never take on any of God's divine qualities, but characteristics such as love and mercy and wisdom, we have the ability to take those on. Not only that, but God expects us to grow in those areas, such as wisdom, and to reflect those qualities to the world. So this morning, I want us to look at some practical truths of life in an effort to give us wisdom or help reaffirm wisdom as we walk in this world as Christians. And the way we're going to do this is we're going to look at several what I have called undeniable facts of life. And briefly, we'll look at each one of these from the world's perspective, and then we'll see what God's Word has to say about each one of these. Before we begin, let's look at our reading from Proverbs 3 that Ed read for us just a moment ago. In Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18, the writer here talks about the benefits of wisdom, of seeking and finding wisdom. The benefits of wisdom can be happiness. Wisdom can be more valuable than all of the things that we might desire in this world, such as silver, gold, and precious things. Wisdom can be one of the key components in leading to a long and prosperous life. And wisdom can provide peace. I think it is obvious that we need to desire wisdom in our lives. And the way that we get wisdom today is through God's Word. He wants us to have wisdom through His inspired Word, the Bible. So with that, let's look at some facts of life. Fact number one, life's not fair. As you look at this list here, you might identify with something there, one or two of those things, but the fact is that there will always be something that I don't have or something that I can't do that as I look around, I see other people that have those things or can do those things. And if we go through life always thinking that I don't have the same whatever, the same financial resources, the same talents, the same abilities that other people have, then we're going to really have a miserable life. I believe that the life's not fair attitude is perhaps one of our culture's biggest problems today. And the life's not fair attitude can be seen in every aspect of life. You can see it in the workplace. You can see it at school. You can see it in politics. You can even see this attitude sometimes at home. The last one on the list there is one that's comes up at the Arnold household at least once a week. Some kids have cell phones and some don't. And we hear that's not fair. We've gotten to where when we hear that's not fair, we just say, okay. You see, God never promised us that life would be fair. But God does make certain promises to us. God promises that if we will seek Him, if we will put Him first, then we will have everything that we need in this life. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We may not have everything that we want or desire, but if we put God first and His will first, we're going to have more than what we need in this life. Another promise that God makes to us is that He will be fair in regard to salvation. Salvation is available to everyone. Acts 10, 34 and 35. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him.'" God doesn't care about our bank accounts. He doesn't care about our credit score or the titles that we put behind our name. God just wants us to seek Him, to obey His will. And salvation is available to everyone that does that. And also, God promises that everyone will face judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We may not all have the same opportunities in life, but we will all have the same opportunity at judgment. You see, if we don't expect life to be fair, then we can save ourselves from a lot of disappointment in life. Next fact of life: you can't change history. I think there are parts of our history for each one of us this morning that if we could, we might like to go back and revise history a little bit. But that's just not possible. Time marches forward, not backward. The truth is that what's in our past stays there forever and cannot be undone. I work with computers all day, different software programs, and just about all of them have an undo button. It's usually a little arrow that points to the left. And the great thing about the undo button is that if you make a mistake, you can click that and it will undo your last action. And I use that a lot throughout the day. In fact, I become so dependent on it that I take risks with whatever I'm working on because I know that I can go back and undo it if I don't get the desired result. Would you like to have an undo button in life? Maybe all of us would for some things, but really, that's not what God wants. Instead, God wants us to learn to prevent bad decisions. Psalm 141, 3 and 4 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity. And do not let me eat of their delicacies." So we must learn self-control. Learn to prevent the mistakes because we can't undo those. Also, we must be able to move on from past failures and successes. You know, it's often that the mistakes, the sins that we have in our lives, if we hang on to the guilt, that guilt will just weigh us down. It will keep us from being all that God really wants us to be. If we have repented and asked for forgiveness, He wants us to forget those things, put them behind us, and move on forward with what we can do with our lives. Also, with our successes, we can't dwell on the good things we've done. If we've done a good deed, or if we've brought a lost soul to Christ, we can't stop and rest in the glory of that. We've got to move on to the next opportunity. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, the words of Paul: "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We need to focus on the things that we can do something about. We can't change history. Focus on the things we can do in the present. Next fact of life: words have meanings. Perhaps the biggest struggle that most of us have is watching what we say. Or in this day and age, watch what we type. You know, we text, we send emails, we Twitter, we are on Facebook. All these things are talking about our words. James in chapter 3, verse 8 says that no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's a powerful description about the tongue and how true it is. I think sometimes we forget just how truly powerful words are. There was a saying when I was little, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. It was what you would say when someone was giving you a hard time at school, making fun of you. You were supposed to be able to say that and just make everything better. The truth is, words can hurt. James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says that words are so powerful. The tongue is a little fire that can destroy an entire forest. Words can destroy relationships. Words can destroy reputations. On the other hand, words are powerful and they can be used for good. They can be used to build one another up. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." And finally, we need to realize that we will be judged by our words. Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37, "But I say to you," these are the words of Jesus, "but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Words have meanings. Use our words to build up, not to destroy. Next fact, if I can get my, there we go. Choices have consequences. We learn in school about Newton's third law of motion. Suddenly this thing is just going on the blink. There we go. Newton's third law of motion. Remember this from science class: for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. This is true in life also. The things that we do, the choices that we make, have a cause and effect relationship with everything that follows. My dad had a saying when I was growing up, and I would come to him with a mistake that I'd made or some trouble that I had gotten myself into. Dad would say, "Well, you've made your bed, son. Now you have to lie in it." That was Dad's way of saying that the mistakes we make have consequences. And you can't always avoid those uncomfortable consequences. This is true spiritually as well. In Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, it reads, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Today's instant gratification society might have the motto of "do now, think later." That's wrong. We need to carefully measure every decision, every choice, every word, every action, and the effect it will have on our future before making a decision. Next fact, someone will oppose you for doing the right thing. There's an old saying that no good deed goes unpunished. And it might not be true in every occasion, but the idea behind that saying is that often a person tries to do the right thing and they are penalized in some way. An example would be, on your way to work, you stop to help someone who's having car trouble. Because you help this person, you are late to work and you miss an important meeting. Because of that, your boss reprimands you. That's the idea behind no good deed goes unpunished. Spiritually speaking, Jesus told us that if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to follow Him, we are going to be opposed. Matthew 5, 11 and 12 says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We will face persecution, or we should face persecution. Sometimes I don't think we face it enough. And what is that saying? Are we doing the right things? Are we truly living a Christian life if we don't face persecution? But we can take courage because God is for us. Romans 8:31, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Furthermore, because we've been told to expect persecution, God tells us to do it the right thing anyway. James 4, verse 17, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If we understand that someone's going to oppose us for doing the right things, it'll help us be prepared to do those things regardless. Next fact. Learning the hard way hurts. There are two basic ways we learn in life. One is from experience. This is the hard way. I like the quote, good judgment comes with experience, but experience comes from bad judgment. It's the idea that if we try to go out in life and just learn everything on our own, it's going to be a lot of trial and error. And often those errors are going to be painful. But there are principles in Scripture that tell us there's an easier way to learn, and that is through instruction. An example of this would be Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents are to instruct their kids. Kids, you are to obey your parents, for this is right. You may not think we know what we're talking about, but we've been there and we've done that. And we want the best for you. We want to save you from some of the mistakes that we've made. Children, obey your parents. Proverbs 1:7 says that fools despise wisdom and instruction. For Christians to learn how to please God, the best way is to learn by the example that He gave us. That's why we have the Bible, to learn from Jesus' example. John 3:13-15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Learning from others' instruction. Those that have our best interests in mind, those that are wise, and those that can help us avoid some mistakes, and especially learning from the example that we have in the Bible from Jesus. Those things, if we'll learn from them, can save us from a world of hurt. Next fact of life. Things change. Just when you think you've got it all figured out, life throws you a curveball. We often expect our lives to go one way, but they end up going another. The fact is, life is unpredictable and constantly changing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 8 verses, it's that beautiful passage that begins like this. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Most of us resist change because it is often difficult. Change disrupts our routine, what we're used to. There is a fear of the unknown with change. Or there's a longing for the way things used to be in the good old days. But the fact is, this world is constantly changing. If you've lived in the Smyrna-Laverne area for very long, you know that. Just imagine 10 years ago, the changes that have taken place. We have changes in our jobs. We have changes in schools. We have changes in our family life. And we can even see change in our church families, as we have seen here at Laverne. So in times of change, in times of turmoil and instability, we need something to hold on to, something to anchor us when all around us is confusing. Scriptures tell us that God never changes, His Word never changes, and Jesus doesn't change. That's our anchor in this world of change. Furthermore, God's Word should be used to guide us through a lifetime filled with changes. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 say, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's inspired Word is perfectly suitable for every situation that we will find ourselves in this life, even though things may often change. And the final fact of life, probably the most unavoidable fact, everyone dies. Now, we don't know when Jesus is going to return to this earth and this world will cease. But But since we don't know that, we must operate under the fact that everyone will die. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." I work in the life insurance industry, and though I don't sell life insurance, I know what our agents face when they're out there. It's a difficult product to sell, because to sell life insurance, you have to get a person to acknowledge their own death and to talk about their death. And so the way to sell life insurance is to get people to focus on their loved ones, the people that are left behind, that you want to do the right thing for those when you're gone. Spiritually speaking, and even on a more important level, as Christians, we need to focus on the life that we have in eternity. We need to focus on the fact that death is not final. Thankfully, Christians have victory over death through Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 57. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Scientists have been working on ways to prolong life indefinitely, but even they admit that the odds are against it. The Bible tells us that the only way to live eternally is through baptism into Christ. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Recognizing the fact that everyone dies, we should prepare ourselves and others, because we know that the end of life on earth is really just the beginning. There you have it. 8 undeniable facts of life. There's certainly more that could be added to this list, and there's a lot more that could be said about each one of these. My hope is that we've all gained a bit of wisdom from something that was said this morning. Or maybe you've learned all these lessons in life, and they've just reaffirmed your belief in them. The key to seeking wisdom is to apply God's Word correctly, to use it daily as our guide to living an obedient life for Him. If you've not obeyed the gospel by repenting and being baptized for the remission of your sins, will you consider doing that today? Or if you're a Christian and you're struggling to remain faithful and you desire forgiveness of sins and prayers from this family, we'd love to help you. We'll pray for you, we'll comfort you, and encourage you. Whatever you need, won't you come as we stand and sing?